Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I did eat them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Proverbs 29:2. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. 1 Peter 5:8-9. This is a passage of scripture that is probably new to us, so we're going to see if we can give it again. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We're glad to see all of you here this evening. Kevin, we're glad to see you and Sarah and the family. We appreciate all the noise, don't we? We're just glad they're here. Very good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. As you can see, we're not studying from the book of James tonight. The reason for that is that this is Thanksgiving Eve, and we're going to spend a little time on the subject of a grateful heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We spend just a moment in prayer before we begin our study. This is a magnificent verse, and we're going to analyze it as we make our way through this session this evening. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. The Scripture teaches us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to be able to study God's Word. We find ourselves daily in need of this roadmap. The roadmap is the Bible. It is our GPS. It gives us everything we need so that we can be victorious and triumphant in life. All of us need to have joy and peace and happiness. Tonight we're thankful indeed for the fact that God has given us everything we need so that we can have this fruitful, abundant life. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful this evening that you've given us all the wonderful blessings of life. We bow with grateful hearts this evening for the fact that we are your children, first of all. We're saved by your grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We know that life at the longest is extremely short, and so one of these days, right out there in the future, we'll be absent from this body. And when that takes place, because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and He's accepted us, we're going to be absent from this body, and we're going to be with our Savior in heaven forever and ever. And we're thankful for that wonderful assurance. And so, as we study tonight, we pray that we will have a desire not only to appreciate, but to take and receive new thoughts and be able to utilize the thoughts and the new concepts and ideas that we get so that we can be even more effective believers. We thank you for your provisions and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you have this verse before you. It is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says, as you can see on the screen and on the back of your Sunday's bulletin, in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'd like for you to be looking at that verse and let me give you some other translations. One of the new translations that I've looked at is the Amplified, and it says, thank God in everything. And then in parentheses, it says, no matter what the circumstances may be, be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. And then again, there's a parentheses. It says, the revealer and mediator of that will. Now, let me go back over that and let you see what is said in the Amplified New Testament. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ is the revealer and the mediator of that will. The New Living Translation says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now let's think about that for a moment. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking right now, do you really believe that that scripture is right when it says, no matter what happens, always be thankful? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The J.B. Phillips translation goes like this. Be thankful for whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. Interesting translation. Be thankful, whatever the circumstances may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. Now, I need to tell you that this verse of Scripture at the very beginning gives us some information that we need to see. And that is, there's a qualification here. It does not say, for everything give thanks. Did you see that? It does not say, for everything give thanks. But it says, in everything give thanks. The preposition that you see right here in the very first word of this verse is not gar, but a little preposition which is epsilon nu, E-N, which is saying in everything, give thanks. We're going to look at the word give thanks in a moment, but I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that there are many things that take place, such as disease and war and all kinds of problems in life. And are we thankful for these things? What we realize is that in the midst of all the problems and difficulties and burdens and illness and all the various things that take place in life, this says that in the midst of all of these things, we're to be thankful. That's the reason why that Amplified presents it like this. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the revealer and the mediator of His will. Another translation, which I read a moment ago, no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Him, who belong to Christ Jesus. The J.B. Phillips, be thankful. Whatever the circumstances may be, if you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ. The Weiss translation says, in everything be giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, there are many things that take place in life that we certainly don't appreciate. There are things that take place and we wonder why. But someone said, like joy, our thankfulness is anchored to our relationship to Christ rather than to the circumstances of life, which is quite a unique way to express it. When I look at this verse of Scripture, I see that it says, in everything you and I are to be thankful, for this is God's plan. In the case of death of someone we love, we'll be grateful that there is life beyond the grave. In the case of a devastating illness, we can be grateful that God knows our weakness and has promised to give us strength. If the illness leads to death, we can again be thankful and draw on strength from the fact that life is not all there is. While we're here on the earth, we're here for just a very brief period of time. In the case of injustice, we can be grateful that God will vindicate us. In the case of promotion, we thank God for the new responsibility He has entrusted to us. In the case of a job loss, we can be grateful that God will work in the situation for our good, or that God is giving us some kind of new opportunity. In the case of a financial windfall, we should give thanks that God has equipped us to steward His resources. In the case of divorce, we can be grateful that God will forgive our failures and heal our heartaches. The point is this: if we focus on the circumstances of life, we'll be grumblers. If we focus on the Lord, we will be thankers. I thought that was a unique way to put it. If we focus on the circumstances of life, we will be grumblers. If we focus on the Lord, we will be thankers. No one promised that life will be easy. I don't think you'll find that anywhere, that life's going to always be easy for us. Jesus told His disciples, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And then Jesus added in John 16:33, but I have overcome the world. I'm sure that all of us tonight have had times when we struggle with the very scripture that we have on the screen before us tonight, when it says, in everything, give thanks. Now I want to stop with you tonight for just a few moments on that word, thanks. If you'll look at it carefully on the screen, if you'll look at it on the back of your bulletin, you will see that it is the Greek word, E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O, which is Eucharisteo. Now, let me say that over a few times, Eucharisteo, and let's see if I can come up with a word that you're with which you're familiar, Eucharist. And probably that is a word with which you're familiar. Eucharist is the observance, for instance, of the Lord's Supper. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it is the Eucharist. We call it the Lord's Supper. Eucharist actually is a word which means thanks. That's the reason why we come together and have the Lord's Supper. We give thanks for what He has done for us, what He's doing for us, what He will do for us. A beautiful word. In everything, give thanks. Now let me stop with you and let you look at this word. If you'll notice the way the word is used, it's a verb in the imperative mood. It's a command. So this is saying that God is commanding all of us to be thankful in everything, no matter what the circumstances are. And you'll notice that it is a present tense, which means it's keep on being thankful. And the active voice says that each person is the subject, and the subject produces the action. And this is saying then that each person has the responsibility of producing this action. You and I are responsible for giving thanks. Now, let me repeat some things I just referred to a moment ago. The Greek word Eucharisteo, from which we get our English word Eucharist, often used in the name of Holy Communion. I said a moment ago, the Lord's Supper. Eucharisteo means be thankful, offer thanks. And as I've said, what we come to do when we come to observe the Lord's table is we bow with moments of silence and we give thanks to God for Jesus Christ and everything that He has done and is doing for us. When you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 26 and 27, the scripture says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body," saying, "This is the cup, give thanks, and offer it, saying, drink from it, all of you." Now that's a different translation, as you can see, but Matthew 26:26-27 is saying, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. The word giving thanks there is eulegeo, E-U-L-E-G-O. Stop for a moment with me on that word. U, E-U, is the prefix, which means good. Lego, which means to speak. Speak good. So, when he says he took bread and gave thanks, it means he was speaking well, speaking good. Broke it, gave to his disciples. Took the cup also. At that time, he gave thanks. This time, the word is not eulegeo, it is eucharisteo, which is the word that we have on the screen. And he says, he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. What Jesus was doing at this Passover meal was offering to his Father the traditional blessings when bread and wine were eaten. It was common for Jews to offer a blessing for each food served during a meal. In everything, give thanks. Present, active, imperative, verb. Let's go on in the verse. For this is the will of God. You'll notice that there is that word now, gar. It says G-A-R right here. For this. And then is thelema, which is the will. Theou is the word God. In Christo, Jesu, Ice, Humos, in you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to lay that foundation before we begin to give you some notes. Number one, we're going to talk about a grateful heart. And when we're talking about a grateful heart, it's important that I say to you that the Scripture says that thanksgiving, our gratitude, should not be just something that we do once a year. Thanksgiving should be a daily experience. It is the daily expression of our gratitude to God. I'm sure you know it's not turkey and dressing, though we're going to enjoy that. But thanksgiving is an emphasis upon spiritual food. And God has given to us this magnificent spiritual food. Therefore, when a person has grown in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that person will have capacity for gratitude. A person who knows God's love and mercy and grace and compassion is going to have an attitude of overflowing gratitude. Number one, thanksgiving should be more than just a daily experience. It should be something that is done over and over and over again, not just a yearly experience, but a daily experience. Number two, thanksgiving then should be normal. Now, I don't know how thankful you are. It seems like that the more I travel and the older I get, the more thankful I am for traveling safety. I'm very thankful for traveling safety. I guess one of the prayers that I pray many, many times, not only while I'm traveling, but when I arrive at the destination, is express my deep appreciation for the fact that we've made it through another trip and made it through another journey, and we're safely at home. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be, number two, a normal daily activity for every born-again believer. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Be always thankful for all things in the sphere of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father." Not only do we see our verse of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but Ephesians 5:20, I repeat, says, "Be always, always thankful for all things in the sphere of our Lord Jesus Christ." Number three, for a Christian to be truly thankful, the believer must, first of all, know the Lord. And secondly, the believer must have what I call an expanded knowledge of God's truth. An expanded knowledge of God's truth. When you go to the Old Testament in the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 5, the scripture there says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's Amos 4, 5. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's Psalm 116, verse 17. Psalm 107, verse 22 says, let them also offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his words with happy singing. I believe it's good for us to sing like we have sung tonight. It's good for us to pray. It's good for us to express our deep appreciation. Psalm 107, verse 22, let them also offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his words and his works with happy singing. Number four, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we have an emphasis on thanksgiving. Number five, thanksgiving is dependent upon stability. Thanksgiving is dependent upon stability, a grateful heart. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossian believers, and here's what he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, be ye thankful. As I've already mentioned tonight, this word thankful is this beautiful Greek word, eucharisteo. For all things are for your sakes, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. Number six. Thanksgiving means being appreciative. I don't know whether your definition is that or not, but what does Thanksgiving mean to you? It means appreciative. It means to be gratefully acknowledging benefits. It means to express to God our appreciation for His favors, especially if we're using the word thanksgiving. We must realize that our appreciation goes to our Heavenly Father. Number seven, the book of Daniel is an interesting book. Daniel chapter 2, verse 23 says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. That tells me that you and I can pray and study and advance and be the appreciative of wisdom and strength, power, dynamite, God's Word. You remember perhaps when Jesus was standing at the tomb of Lazarus, just before he called for Lazarus to come forth from the grave, Jesus prayed. And here's what Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now I'm sure that you know that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, had he just said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have gotten up. So he was specific, and he said specifically, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus got up. Number eight, in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1, 3, I thank my God. Philippians 1, 3. 1 Corinthians 1, 4, I thank my God always. In 2 Timothy 1, 3, I thank God whom I served for my forefathers. Colossians 2, 7, having been rooted and having been built up in Him, being confirmed in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, all of these verses of Scripture are saying over and over again to be thankful. Have a grateful heart. Now, let me conclude tonight by telling you that no matter what happens in your life and mine, there are at least eight things we should consider, and I want to share these with you. No matter what happens in life, we are to be grateful, one, that we are forgiven and loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can spend a lot of time talking about that, but let me just let you put these points down. No matter what happens in life, we can be grateful, have a grateful heart for the fact that we're forgiven and loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful this evening for the fact that you are heaven-bound? Are you thankful this evening that you know without doubt that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and that you are a recipient of His magnificent love? Now, I want you to know that it's wonderful to be loved. It's wonderful not only to be loved, but it's wonderful to love. It's wonderful to express love. Now, I'm not going to have to go into all these illustrations personal, but I will tell you that one of the things that we've done in our family through the years is we've expressed love. We're not ashamed to say, I love you. We have a little slogan that most of you have heard us talk about. We have 3-2, which means I love you very much. We have a domino that has three dots on one side, two on the other, that's behind a glass frame that our youngest daughter put together, and we have it up. It's a symbol of the fact that we express that statement over and over again. I love you very much. I try not to let any day go by without saying many, many times to my companion, I love you. That's important for me. It's important for me to be the recipient of that statement from her. And she says that to me. Not only is it words, but we have many, many other expressions of love, and I'm not going to go into all of that, even though you may be very interested in knowing what I have to say. But I'm telling you that after 56 years of marriage, things are better now than they were when we first got married. Someone said, when we first got married, said, I loved her so much, I felt like I could eat her, and then later I wish I had. But no, I don't, that's not true at all. I want you to know that 56 years, it seems like we've just been married a few days. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's an emphasis in the Scripture on love. The greatest love in all the world is the love that God has for you and me. We're the recipients of that love. I hope that you will never, never forget how much God loves you and how appreciative we ought to be and how we ought to express with a grateful heart to God with thanksgiving for His love for us. He's manifested that love in that Jesus Christ, His Son, was willing to come to this earth, and the Father was willing to give up that Son to come to the earth to become the God-man, God in the flesh, to go to the cross and to die for the sins of the world. It's a lot of love. That's the reason why John 3:16 is so great when it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. What a magnificent verse of Scripture that is. God's love for mankind. The love that Jesus Christ has for us is great. It's beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine. When a person, Jesus Christ, left heaven's glory and came to become the God-man, willing to suffer and bleed and die. And let me tell you something. There's no question in my mind that the suffering of Jesus Christ physically was a horrible, horrible thing. But something far worse than that. And that is when He was bearing your sins and mine and the darkness that came. I want you to know that no one has ever suffered like Jesus Christ suffered. And He suffered for you and for me. And that is an expression of love. So I want you to know that you and I should be aware that no matter what happens in life, we're to have a grateful heart. Why? Number one, because we're forgiven and loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, secondly, nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing can separate us from that love. Well, I think you ought to just look at it with me. Turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I will. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to look with me at some verses of Scripture here in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. I want to read it to you. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now we're looking at Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now let's go to Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, I've just been talking about that, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8, 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yea, rather, who has raised, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Now, if you think, oh, that's wonderful, let's begin with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're talking about now the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we're being put to death all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we're overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. The Apostle Paul goes on now, verse 38 of Romans 8. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to know that this is a triumphant passage of Scripture. I go back up here and I look, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Then I glance down to verse 38 and I see some more things. Death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're happy tonight and thankful tonight. We have a grateful heart tonight because nothing can separate us from God's love. Number three, a grateful heart because God is working in every circumstance for our good. Now, put that down, folks. God is working in every circumstance for our good. You may have all kinds of things happening in your life you wonder about, but just remember, God is putting things together. It's like that jigsaw puzzle. They were putting together a jigsaw puzzle in this family's home. And they were having a difficult time. And it was on a board. And they said to their little child, what about this jigsaw puzzle? She took the puzzle, went off in another room. In a little bit, she came back. And the puzzle was completed. And they said, well, what caused, how were you able to do that? She said, well, I turned the puzzle over. And on the other side, there was the complete picture of Jesus. A complete picture. So all I had to do was just to take a look there, and I knew how the puzzle should be on the other side. Well, think about that for a moment. That's the way life is. Sometimes we wonder when all the little pieces of the puzzle of our lives are so messed up, we're wondering what all is taking place. But in reality, if we take a good look at the Lord Jesus Christ, He's in the process of working all of these various pieces, circumstances, for our good. That's what I just read in Romans 8. It says in Romans 8, I don't think I read this, did I? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Number four, if you're taking notes, we're to have a grateful heart because God will supply our needs. God will supply our needs. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Let's move along to number five. We should have a grateful heart because God is going to give us the strength that we need. It says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Number six, we will live even though we die. We will live even though we die. And if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, the Scripture says we have an eternal house in heaven, not made by human hands. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1. One of these days, this tent is going to be taken down. But we have an eternal house that's going to be forever and ever and ever. That's number six. We will live even though we die. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Number seven. We should have a grateful heart because no one can snatch you out of the hand of God. No one can snatch you out of the hand of God. Now, would you do me a favor and let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of John. I'm going to turn there and give you time to turn there. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to find out what all is taking place here. If you'll look at verse 27, John chapter 10, "My sheep," that's you who have believed, "my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." John 10:28, "And I give unto them life eternal, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand." John 10:29, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now this verse of Scripture that you see on the screen says that you and I ought to have a thankful, grateful heart. We're forgiven. We're loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Number three, God is working in every circumstance for our good. Number four, God's going to supply our needs. Number five, God is going to give us strength, the strength we need. Number six, even though this tent comes down one of these days, we're going to be with Him forever. Number seven, no one can snatch us from that magnificent eternal hand. We are to be grateful tonight for His blessings. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. We've been rejoicing tonight in the fact that we are your children. And the Scripture says, thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be, we're to be thankful, give thanks. For this is the will of God for us who are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that we realize that in life we face many difficulties and burdens and trials and tests, and many things happen to us that seem to be so out of the ordinary. Sometimes we're disturbed by what takes place, and yet we realize that you're working in every circumstance, even the circumstances that aren't good. You're putting things together for our good. And we know that the Scripture says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose." Tonight, for those who hear this message by way of the Internet, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they would do it even now. May they realize that Christ went to the cross to die for them. He was buried, came forth out of the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. He's there to make intercession. He's there to save. Thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation. We know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.